Guys, I'm excited to be up here. It's been a little while since I've taught. Typically in the rotation when the elders, the guys get together and teach, I'm usually up here dancing and, you know, got my plate full. So it's a pleasure to be up here. I've been able to share what's on my heart. I do desire that whatever is said today, all the things that are said, the things that the Father wants us to hear heard, that the things that are of my own accord or my own words will fall, that we'll be able to be encouraged. It's going to be a little bit of a different teaching as far as the topics we kind of discussed today, but hopefully we'll be able to get something out of it. And more than anything, just hear, you know, my heart where I'm coming from. Obviously, almost every teaching I've ever done has been first and foremost directed towards myself. So I take this, you know, very seriously as far as I'm not speaking to any one individual, I'm speaking to us as a body and in particular as myself. So to open, I want to open in Matthew 7:1. We can turn a couple places if you want to, but I'm not going to read long portions of Scripture today. I'm going to be exhorting on a handful of ideas and topics and thoughts and hopefully getting our perspective in a good place. If I stay on track and on topic, I've got probably about half an hour, 45 minutes from you guys, okay? So if we have a nice, tight group here, if anybody, you know, has anything they'd like to share, by all means, we'll grab the microphone, get it on, and go from there. But in Matthew 7:1, it's a very, very familiar verse to all of us. And, you know, Mark McLennan's done a teaching on this, and he alludes to this. But I want to just kind of open so this kind of be spinning our heads. Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And I find it, you know, very fitting and unique, the portion that Miss Rachel gave today, the word that, you know, the Father obviously shared with Steve at Rosh Kodesh, the cycles of having trust and faith in the Father, fit and tie in, you know, very greatly to what I'm going to share here. And you'll kind of see these little points and parts come about. But Matthew 7:1, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Have you noticed by, you know, anybody out here, if you can just shout out what we see up here? What do we see? Shout it out. A dot. Black. Black hole. Anyone? So most people see this right here, correct? And this is kind of how we live our lives. We always see the one single black dot versus the sea of white around. It's often that we're focusing on the difficulties, the worries, our anxieties, our stresses, all the different things. In particular, when we look at our brother, we typically see judgment versus love. So this here, most everybody sees, myself included, would say have the same answer. We see the speck, we see the black dot, versus seeing the entire landscape of what is potentially out there for us to learn, glean from each other, and whatnot. So this first portion here I want to talk about is basically how we love our neighbor and how we view our neighbor. I'm sure I'll use the board more than just the one black dot. But, you know, we give power to what we focus on. Okay, so the things that we focus on, whether it be the black dot or whether it be the one flaw or whether it be our stress or anxiety or whatever we have, we give power to that. So today is going to be a unique message about positive or negative. Which are we? Are we positive or are we negative? If you want to spiritualize a little further, because the word positive and negative can kind of get a, you know, worldly kind of condensation, but I'm going to point these different words back to the Scripture and see how they fit in directly, teachings of Yeshua and teachings of the Father. We can also think about it this way. Are we thinking life or are we thinking death? Okay? It's the same thing. These are interchangeable. And we as human beings, we know, don't have a difficult time seeing the black spot. We don't have a difficult time drumming up, you know, negativity in our lives. It's more so positivity that we have a difficulty time with. Now, there might be some people in here that, you know, are driving down the interstate and a rock cracks into their glass and the first thing that comes out of their thoughts and mind is, praise Yahweh, I get to, you know, bless Safe Light auto glass. You know, that might be. And for those people, if that's the first thought that comes out of your mind is the blessing you're going to get to give to Safe Light, then encourage the rest of us. But that's typically not the first thing that comes in our minds. But this is something we have to train ourselves in. So our thoughts, we know, affect everything. It affects our relationships, our occupations. It affects our time, our productivity. All of these things are directly affected by what starts up here. So again, I ask us, are we being positive or are we negative? Are we thinking positively or are we thinking negatively? Are we thinking life over situations, over people, or are we thinking death? We're going to ask ourselves these questions. And, you know, we talk a lot about, and we've heard Douglas do some fantastic messages on the power of the tongue. We've heard Mark speak on it many times before, power of the tongue, power of our speech. Rightfully so, we talk about these things. But before we can actually speak something out of our mouths, it's got to start up here. So if we are thinking negative thoughts, or if we are thinking death, or if we are thinking the worst in all these different situations, whatever it might be, that's eventually what comes out in the power of our tongue. To kind of prove this point, there's an actual study they did with groups of people who were anxious, had anxiety and stress in their lives. And they broke them up in two different groups, and they told one group to say, to basically visualize, to think about and visualize a positive outcome that would help you be less stressed or less anxious. And the other group they took, and they said, I want you to speak. I want you to verbally tell me a positive outcome that would help you lower your anxiety and stress. They bring the two groups back, and it was the group that actually did the visualization that had decreased anxiety and decreased stress versus just speaking it alone. So we know that things start up here and then filter on down from there. Obviously, there's studies on productivity, on longer life, on success, all these things that we want in our lives, but yet we may not know how to properly, you know, balance them out. Think about this. Have you ever noticed that we can think a dozen, 10, 12, 20 positive thoughts throughout the day, and those positive thoughts are just gone, boom, 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 boom. We think something, it's history, it's history, it's history. It's the one negative thought that enters our head, or the one thought of poor or ill or whatever that lingers. It bombards us. It weighs us down. It stays. It doesn't exit very quickly. So we can have a dozen positive thoughts. We can have a dozen thoughts of life, a dozen thoughts of good, per se. And it's the one black dot that we see that lingers with us at the end of the day. I need my water. It's water, but it's also a demonstration. This kind of where you fit in, Miss Rachel. This cup here, you know, it's about half empty. Most people use the glass half empty, glass half full in a positive, negative kind of discussion. But this glass here, I'm not really concerned about how full it is. Does anybody know what the weight of this cup of Ozark is? What do you think the weight is, roughly?
Right now?
Anything, just the weight. Maybe 5 ounces, something like that. 4. I'm really not concerned about the weight either. So think about this for a second. If I hold this right here out for 1 to 2 minutes, it's relatively light. If I hold it for 1 to 2 hours, it begins to weigh on me. I begin to notice that I'm holding this. Say I tried to hold this out right here the entire day. Before you know it, this arm goes completely numb, basically paralyzes, and I'm in excruciating pain by the end of the day. It's not until we, Miss Rachel, set this aside, we know who's in control, that we can relieve these negative emotions, negative thoughts. It's a good place right here to interject. It's not all roses. It's not all great. It's not all seeing 100% positive in every situation. There are times that we're going to have to address situations. There are times that we're going to have to use righteous judgment. There are times that we're going to have to deal with sin, and there's repentance, and there's all these different things. So I'm not dismissing the fact that we will have issues arise in our life, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our communities, or however it may be, that righteous judgment must take place. But my thought is if we're not going to address an issue, if it's not something that we are going to have to deal with directly and either, you know, hash it out, work it out, or whatever it might be, and bring forth the prince, it's not one of those issues. There's no good reason why we should be holding on to it to become paralyzed. Point to what you were saying earlier. And if we look around the body of Yahweh as a whole, not necessarily talking about us, but as a whole, we're just as beaten down, miserable, depressed, anxious, worry, fear, all of these things as the world around us, but yet we're supposed to be the ones being the light. We're supposed to be the ones that are a reflection of the King of the universe, the ruler of the universe. But yet we act and we portray ourselves in a way that if he in fact is who he says he is and what he is to us, there should be nothing but a positive outlook in every situation that we come in contact with. Perfect example is with you and your son. So what's there's two main points I want to get out of this. And the first is, you know, one of the two greatest commandments, love Yah with all your heart, soul, strength, and might, and then love your neighbor as yourself. If we are constantly seeing the one black spot or the one dot, if we are constantly in an emotion of a negativity versus positivity or not seeing the best in each other or in our situations, it's very, very difficult to love our neighbor. Not only is it very difficult to love our neighbor, but if we can't even see and understand who we are in the Messiah, we can't properly have, if all of our thoughts about ourselves are negative. Everything I'm doing is beating myself down. How am I supposed to properly love my neighbor if I don't even know who I am in the Father and could properly have a good perspective on who I am? So the first major point is how we interact with each other, how we view each other, and it's going to continue to come full circle here pretty soon. So we've talked a lot about positive, negative. So I want to give us some actual definitions. I'm going to write them up here on the board of positivity and negativity. They both came to a surprise to me, and they fit quite nicely. First, let's go with the bad news first. Good news, bad news? Let's go negativity. Is expression of criticism. The way I believe this fits so nicely is, as Mark did a great teaching on judge not lest you want to be judged, and what his idea was is we weren't dealing with righteous judgment situations. We were dealing with, and Yeshua most of the time dealt with, hypocrites, people who were saying one thing and doing another. And so with this is what Mark's teaching was, when he alludes to this pretty often, is that scripture is better read, criticize not lest you be criticized. And so when that stuck in my head, because when I begin to see this, the Father gave me this judge not before I even looked up the definition of negativity, and it's an expression of criticism. This is an action. And it fits directly with something that Yeshua himself tells us to be very leery of. So I thought that fit quite nicely. And then positivity is another positivity. I'm going to read it to you and then write it down. Is the practice of an optimistic attitude. Who was it? Winston Churchill said attitude is a big thing, or is a little thing that makes a big difference. And positivity is practice. We know the Hebrew language, the Hebrew mindset, is an action mindset. It's an action language. So this understanding of positivity is something that we practice. And we understand the opposite of negativity, which obviously, if it's an expression of criticism, Yeshua teaches on it, this is biblical. The opposite is positivity. What I enjoy about this as well is what I like is this word practice, is it puts some responsibility on us. You know, a lot of times we sit back and we, whether we're talking about things, you know, certain fruits of the Spirit, whether it's joy, whether it's shalom, peace, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, we understand that these come from the Father, but we can easily become stagnant and sit back and go, this is something he's going to give me. It's not something I have to work at. It's not something I've got to put practice into. It's not something I've got to control. It's just, I'm going to be what I'm going to be. You know, we can have this understanding, this mindset that, you know, I'm just not as positive as Josh. I wasn't born that way. Or I'm just not that happy of an individual, which we'll discuss the word happiness shortly. But these are all just, in my opinion, ways to deflect and sit back and believe that the Father's going to do all the work when we know good and well that it's faith and works together that produces anything worth anything. So take, for example, someone who may have the gift of service. Okay, so someone who just, it comes natural for them to serve others. And some other people, it doesn't come as natural to serve others. It's more of a struggle. So just because it doesn't come more natural for that person to serve Does that mean they're not required to put in the practice and the effort and the mental fortitude to serve others? Of course not. So just because we may not have the most naturally optimistic view or most naturally positive view on situations, and we tend to be more negative or tend to be more critical or that sort of thing, doesn't give us an out that, oh, all of a sudden the Father's going to change my perspective. Because then we get into the place to where we're responsible for nothing and the Father's responsible for basically every single thing that comes out of us, and that's just not, that's a predestiny type of attitude. So I like the fact that we take responsibility at that word practice there. You know, the book of James obviously refers to this as well. It's another well-known, you know, well-known verse, but it's count it all joy when we encounter different trials because it produces steadfastness. And that word steadfastness is the idea that every time we come up against a trial, a trouble, a challenge, we should count it all joy because those different things produce in us the ability to repeat good action. Later on down in verse 12, it talks about at the end, when we get to the final trial and we overcome that final trial, that's when we get the crown of life. So this idea that James tells us to count it all joy, he's telling us this is something we're responsible for. We're responsible for viewing these trials and tribulations and these troubles as positives because they're eventually going to produce in us something that can overcome and then repeat, overcome, so that when the greatest trials in our lives come, the greatest tests in our lives come, we have built a foundation of growth, repeat, overcome, and growth, okay? So this is the second point. So the first point is dealing with each other and loving our neighbor and knowing how to do that. The second point is, main point I want to get to is this idea of challenge and the idea of the attitude of positivity, no matter what we're facing it with the understanding that, or the attitude that without great challenge, without great struggle, there's no growth. You know, we know this in diet and exercise, and you plug in what you want to plug in, but it's hard work, it's sweat, it's dedication, it's time, it's all these different things if we want to have a fit body. We're not just born, other than Jeremiah, with a fit body. You know, so I could say that he's my brother. But if we want to be fit, or if we want to be healthy, let's just use health, for example. It takes sacrifice. It takes struggle. It takes all these different things in order to shed the pounds, feel good. All those different things are vital. And it's through trial, through trouble, through these different things that we see the most growth. It's a philosophy of mine, at least, that without some suffering, there's little reward and little growth, okay? The greatest example of that was Yeshua himself. The only reason we're here today is because his great sacrifice, him suffering, his trials, his tribulations, without those things and him overcoming those things, look at the reward. The reward is what we're partaking in right now. So, In my mind here, positivity is something that helps us embrace trials, embrace challenges, where negativity, on the other hand, loves the easy road. You know, there's a story about an ancient king I read, and basically what it was saying is he came out and he put a big boulder in the road. And he took this big boulder and set it out there in the road, and he, often a little bit in the distance, got him a hiding spot where he can see how the different people interacted with this boulder in the road. So a group of people come in, high-end merchants and noblemen and different things like that, come walk in, and they encounter the boulder, and they just walk around it. And upon walking around it, he can hear them from a distance. They were loudly murmuring and complaining and blaming the king for the condition of the road. A little while longer, a peasant comes walking along with his burden of vegetables, and he's coming through, and from a distance he sees the boulder. He drops his burden of vegetables, goes over there, and begins to try to push this boulder out of the road. And upon trying to push this boulder out of the road, great struggle, great trial, eventually he rolls it out of the way. He goes back to get his burden of vegetables and begins to walk back through the path. And the same location where the boulder was a money sack full of gold coins. And he reaches down to look at it, and there was a note from the king, and he said, "These gold coins are for whoever, whatever person removes this boulder out of the road." And it was that day that peasant began to understand. I wrote this down. Every obstacle we face presents an opportunity to improve our condition. This is what James was talking about. Is every trial we should count as a blessing. It's difficult. Trust me, it's difficult. But typically, those trials are placed in our lives, and the first thing we go to is, what have I done now? I'm not saying for us not to introspect. I'm not saying for us not to review our lives and make sure that we're lining up and that sort of thing, which the rest of this message will fill in those gaps. So the question is, as I was pondering this, is it just something we do? Is it just something you just got to just, I'm going to kick you all out there and say, go be positive. Or is there something that leads to this naturally positive attitude? So I asked myself, I began to look at this question because typically people who are very positive are happy individuals. And I'm going to use this word happy, so don't jump on me about the word happy yet because I'm going to break this down in the scripture here shortly. But people who are positive are very happy individuals. And then very happy individuals are typically positive. So my question was, which was it? Halisa's taught us over the years, the answer is both. The answer is yes. Okay, so I want to explore this idea of what true biblical happiness is versus the world's definition of happiness. Because we know the world's definition of happiness is, Tammy talks about it often, which is happiness is based on happenings. Happiness is based on, I got a new car, I'm feeling good. I got a raise, I'm feeling good. I've got this, I've got that, got the new pool, all the different things that happen in our lives that bring us not true happiness. It's a moment of delight or a moment of gladness or a moment of good cheer based on our condition, where true happiness is something that is declared upon us by the creator of the universe. And we're going to break this down here momentarily. It's something that's declared upon us all throughout Scripture, almost 100 times throughout Scripture. How many times have you seen, BJ? How many times have you been able to go up to somebody and say, how you doing, BJ? And you're just like, I'm blessed, man. How many times? I'm blessed. Basically, what you're saying is I'm happy. That's what you're saying. Because the Father has declared you blessed based on how you live your life and based on the perspective you have. That word blessed that we use so often as believers and as followers of Messiah, that word blessed is the exact same word as happy. It's Hebrews, and I'll write it up here on the board. It's Hebrews 8:35. Now, guys, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, okay? So you Hebrew scholars can keep me in check. But I do know my way around a Strong's Concordance a little bit. But Hebrews 8:35, if I've got that correct, is Esher. We know the most, the term I've always known as happy was Asher, because that was the first time I even recognized, Asher means happy and that sort of thing. But Asher is actually Hebrews 8:34. And every time that's mentioned throughout the scripture, it's in reference to the name Asher. It's reference to the tribe of some sort. But this word here, Asher, actually means happy or blessed. And we can wrap our heads around that easy, but we don't necessarily think we may deserve to be happy, but it's something that the Father declares over us. What's unique about this as well, which we'll see here in a moment, that the root word for this is Ashar, which I may be pronouncing all this wrong, which is Hebrews 8:33, which means to be straight. Which I like this second expression it gives us, which also means to be level. And how do we become straight, or how do we become level? The only way is, and what's so unique about this, is everything is cyclical. Everything refers right back to what we're supposed to be doing. So in order to obtain this and be declared this by the Father, which we'll see in a moment, I'm going to read you some things, this word here is to be straight or to be level. And what is the most level, straight foundation we could possibly have? Yeshua, the Word made flesh, the commandments, all of these different things. I'm not going to write it up there, but I'm going to go ahead and just mention it to you. The Greek as well. The Greek is G3107, which means the exact same thing, which is to be blessed, to be happy, to be well off, or to be fortunate. So anytime the Father calls us, and Yeshua calls us this, blessed, he's telling us, fortunate are you? Blessed are you? Happy are you? And we're going to read some of these things momentarily. Then there's the other form of blessed, which we all know, which is a proclaiming adoration, proclaiming praise. The idea of kneeling is really the idea of when we bless the Father, or that sort of thing. So when we see blessed in a lot of different areas, it's the idea of deflecting praise to another, in particular the king, or kneeling, or paying homage to. Whereas these two places, which I'm going to read some areas in a moment, are directly affecting this here. Now, have you ever noticed as well, I was thinking about this actually on the ride in. I didn't even write it in my notes. But I was thinking about this on the ride in. It's the Caleb, for example, in the scripture. When he, and Brian Howard brought this out a year ago, brought out the idea that the scripture talks about Caleb having a different spirit. And that different spirit wasn't for lack of true statements from the other spies. The other spies knew exactly what they were talking about. They said, these guys are huge. There's fortified cities. These were all true statements. But what's unique is it ties directly into what Steve brought out, which is this idea of faith or this idea of trust. This different spirit was something that he had. He had this. He developed this different spirit. I don't know if it was something that Yahweh just zapped upon him, because we are responsible for the spirit that we portray. We're responsible for how we interact, how we act, how we do these things. So often do we neglect or don't take responsibility for, and everything is just the Creator's fault. Or he didn't give me what I was. He is willing and able to give us all the different things that we need. But it was this spirit that Caleb had and the trust he had in the Father, Steve, that he was able to say, no, even though all these things may be true, we're going to take the place. This is optimism. I serve the Creator of the universe. And we can overtake these people. Let me read you a few portions of how I've said it a few times before, and let me say it this way. Happiness, or being happy, is something we are, not something we feel. Okay? It's something we are, not something we feel. So these are a few places in Scripture. I'm just going to bear with me as I read a few of these. So we can inject this word here. Every single place I'm about to read is this word here, which is either happy or blessed. So I'll interchange these words a few times. So blessed are the people who are saved by Yahweh. Happy are those who stand continually before him and hear his wisdom. Blessed are those who Yahweh corrects and does not despise it. It mentions that twice throughout the scripture. We know this one. Happy are those with a full quiver, Steve. Boom. Blessed are those who fear Yahweh. He mentions that twice. Happy are those who make Elohim their Yahweh. So when we proclaim him as our king, when we accept salvation, that's twice it mentions in there. For the sake of time, I've given the numbers of how many times these things have shown up. Blessed are those who Yahweh is their help and whose hope is in him. Happy is the one who finds wisdom and understanding. This one I found very unique, and it's happier those who have mercy on the poor, or blessed are those who consider the poor, two different locations. How many times have we been that we were able to bless someone, help someone? That's the true, and the sense we get, the sense we have when we serve, when we bless, when we consider those who are less fortunate than us, that's true happiness. The scripture declares it. That's when we consider ourselves blessed. We use the phrase all the time when someone says, man, thank you so much. You blessed me in this way. You're like, I'm blessed to be able to give to you. Amen. We use these terms if we don't actually wrap our brains around what we're actually saying. And this is actually something that's declared to us from the word. At least I haven't. I found this cool, Steve, because I'm telling you, this idea of trusting the Father, which then hinges this whole cycle. It says, happy are those who trust in Yahweh. And it's the only time, all these have been once here, twice here, three times here. Trusting in the Father was five times, nearly doubled everything else. And that's what gave the outlook, the perspective, the positive view, the life. Everything that came from Caleb was that trust he had in the Father. So blessed are those, or happy are those, who keep the law, walk in the law, and keep his ways. That's three different locations. It said three different ways. Happy are those who walk in the counsel of the who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That's Psalms 1:1. I also found it interesting. First word, first verse of the first psalm, David's teaching us how to be happy. The Father's teaching us how to be blessed, following these three things. All the different things that could be to come out. Blessed are those who dwell in his house. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Happy are those who keep his judgments and do righteousness. Blessed are those who fear Yahweh. We say it every year, at least I do every year. I read the verse at the Feast of Trumpets. Happy or blessed are those who hear the sound, who know the voice of the shofar. And blessed are those who keep his testimonies, seek with their whole heart. Happy are those who wait on the Father, who serve the Father. And then finally, happy are those who keep the Sabbath from polluting it and keep his hand from doing evil. So these are all portions. It's over 40 or 50 times roughly that, it's 44, I don't know how many times, that this word right here tells us and we are proclaimed as happy or blessed. And again, it's these, all of these things that we are already striving to do. We already have the building blocks and the foundation of desiring to keep these things. We already have this built inside. So anytime we feel ourselves down or out or depressed or stressed or anxious or all these different things, let's go back and look at some of these things and say, am I fitting in these categories? Because this is when I'm declared true, biblical, scriptural blessings upon myself, or being called blessed by the Creator. Matthew 5, I'm going to wrap up here shortly, tie this thing together. Matthew 5, we know the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. This word blessed before every single, this is Yeshua himself speaking, before every single phrase that he shares, it's actually the Greek word that means this same thing, which is fortunate, well off, blessed, or happy. Right here, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, happy are those who mourn, happy are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy are the merciful. That goes along with, are we seeing the white or are we seeing the speck? Happy are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This goes right along with those trials, tribulations, struggles. All with the right attitude, with the right perspective of what these things are actually doing for us. And then happy are those, happy are you when others revile you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you, and falsely accuse you falsely on my account. Verse 12 is unique. It says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. So anytime we come up against these trials, tribulations, obstacles, and those different things, this is true blessing. These are true, what true happiness looks like. And in turn, we're actually supposed to rejoice. So even though you have a burden in your spirit for your son that you've got to drop that glass so it doesn't paralyze you and so you don't further harm him, we're to rejoice and be glad in these times because he still sits on the throne. He's still the creator of the universe. And there's nothing else that's going to change that. I can't change that. We can't change that. Have you ever noticed as well, people, that just to get this idea of true biblical happiness or true biblical freedom. People with money, fame, notoriety, miserable. Those things last a short period of time. They don't have the true biblical understanding or walking in the true biblical ways. Or you might have seen some people who live pretty happily, but they don't walk directly with the Father like we may think they should walk. But guess what they might be doing? Who knows, Steve? His word's eternal regardless. If we follow, Steve talks about this all the time. If we're following these principles, many people follow biblical principles and get some success out of it because his word doesn't change and it's truth. So yeah, we might have some people out there that we see don't walk exactly like us, but man, they look happy. Maybe, or they look this. Maybe it's because they're following some of these things. The scripture isn't partial to, it's only partial to how we take one foot in front of the other. And the Father's not partial to except for how we've put one foot in front of the other, if it's lining up according to what his word says. But it's that false understanding of what blessed with these people who are searching and straining for all of these different worldly things and possessions that don't add up to what we're looking for, which is what Yahweh declares over us. So there's no reason at all, in closing here, that like Caleb, like we know, these are foundational things about us that we know. There's no reason at all that we should not be able to view every situation, every trial, every heartache, every flaw that someone may have in front of us and not see the positive in those things when we know good and well who's seated on the throne and who's in control of everything. Steve, you had something? Yeah.
I just want to amen everything that you've said so far. And one of the things that I just had to think of as he was up here talking is, it doesn't matter how big the assignment is that the Father gives us, these principles still work the same each way. You know, Caleb, whenever he was saying what he was saying about the giants, not only did he say it, but down the road when they actually did get to go into the land, what did he ask for? He told Moses, he said, that place that I was talking about, that the spies didn't want to go in, that I said that we could, that's what I want. We are well able to overcome it. Give me the land where the giants dwell. Mm-hmm. So Caleb went and did what he said he was going to do.
That's right.
And I can remember times in my life when something as small as $5 was required of me. Was I faithful with that? And that's the thing that, one of the things that I took away from what you're saying here is, we're supposed to be responsible and we're supposed to be positive, whether it's as small as $5 or whether it's as big as a life and death battle with giants.
Amen. All right, well said. So finally, just to kind of tie this up, it's from what I've seen, it's that filling in these gaps, walking out these things, being who we are declared to be, which is a blessed people, okay? Like if BJ were to say, how you feeling? I'm blessed. It's that idea that then enables us when we are who we are, not something we feel, but it's something we are, and it's something the Father declares over us. It's when we are in that state and when we're functioning in these things that we're able to see things with the proper balance and proper perspective. We use that word blessed or happy down here, the root is to be straight. It's when we're walking in all of these different things that we're then declared happy. We're then declared blessed. And it's when we're declared those things that we're then able to equally, not, it's, you know, and obviously with practice, is something that I'm personally trying to do. I'm personally trying to, in all situations, no matter what it is, not have to necessarily battle, be in this war with negative thoughts, but it becomes so second nature. And I'm not saying overlook sin, and I'm not saying overlook things that we need to make proper judgments on. Those typically slap us in the face, you know, over and looking murder and slander and all these different things. But it's typically, when it's something that I'm not going to directly address, if it's not something that hits me in the face that says I've need to deal with this in order to bring total sanctity to my life, my home, my community, X, Y, or Z, then that whole sea of white, drop the glass, don't be paralyzed. Instead of seeing the dots in each other, let's see the good that we can learn and grow and move forward and all these different things. It was unique because Mark's last words, I think his last sentence that he taught on last week, I don't even know why he zipped it in there. As soon as he said the word, we got to be positive with each other, I was like, here we go. Because I already had my message. I was working on a message for about 2 weeks. I was like, here we go. He's going to step on it. He stopped right there. I was like, that's a confirmation to where I was going. Because what he was basically saying is right there at the end is we've got to be helping each other up, lifting each other up, carrying each other's burdens. Miss Rachel's always preaching to us on our prayer requests about carrying each other's burdens and loving our neighbor as ourself, and then embracing these trials, these challenges, and all these different things with the optimistic view that the reason we're here is because the creator of the universe is going to bring us to levels that we don't even know we can be at. Amen? Thank you for your time. Redeemer,